Shus, the Rav Mor D'Asra. I was asked to speak about some of the pertinent halachas with respect to Pesach coming up. My intention is to speak very briefly and to open the floor for questions, because questions and answers are the most important. That's what it says in the Gemara, Shol and V'Dorshin, Pilchos HaPesach. It doesn't say just Dorshin, Shol and V'Dorshin, which implies that the best drusher is one which is in response to a she'ela, a question. So I'll go over some of the, what they call today, FAQ, frequently asked questions, and then I'll have you ask the same questions or similar other, either F or maybe IAQ, infrequently asked questions. Please don't be embarrassed to ask a question, because all the questions are good. So we are a number of days before Pesach right now, and people are often beset with issues of kashering. We'll start with that briefly. How do you kasher a sink? If the sink is stainless steel, we can kasher it, what we call in our language, irui, which involves pouring hot water over the sink after it being dormant for 24 hours, not being used for anything hot. And ideally, you'd pour hot water over every single surface. That requires a lot of talent. Not so simple to do such a thing. In my house, we take three huge pots, and the pots themselves have to be dormant for 24 hours before you use them. If it's Pesach, I think it's been dormant for almost a year. And you fill it up with boiling water. And then we take the drain and close the sink so the water can't get out. And we take the first pot and we pour it over the whole floor of the sink. And then the next pot we pour over the sides as much as we can do it. And between the three pots, huge pots, it fills up most of the sink. There's always going to be a little left on top. So then we take the regular hot water from the tap and we fill up to the very top till everything is full with water. Now, it's true, the hot water from the tap is not actually boiling, and so it may not be boiling at that point in time, but it doesn't really matter when it comes to irui. It only went in that way. Likely it will go out even if it's not at this level of boiling. That's what I recommend. As far as the stove and the oven is concerned, so for the grates of the stove, I recommend making a very, again, assuming you're in a residence for long term, it's a worthwhile one-time investment to buy new grates. So every year you pull them out, they're no hassle-free. So we have in my house, so the grates, we bought them 30-something years ago, and they're still good. And I was only using 1 week a year. And they're very good, they're clean. And that's a worthwhile thing to do. As far as the oven, that's a bigger problem, of course. If you have a self-clean oven, just put it on to the highest, and it's presto clean. If it's not, there's a big dispute. Can you kasher by putting up to the highest, which is 550? Some say yes, some say no. So in our house, we have what we call an insert. The insert is a box. You just open it, and put the pot in, and close it. Now it's surrounded on all six sides. And that's what we have in our house as far as the oven is concerned. As far as kashering anything else, I recommend you buy Pesach thicker stuff. Of course, you can kasher it, but today's world, the Gemara implies in Pesachim, if you can afford to buy new ones, you should buy new ones. And most people can afford to buy new ones. So that's what I recommend. Have a set of Pesach digger dishes and bechers and pots and pans. It's easier to do it that way. I'm not a big fan of kashering a microwave. A microwave is made from plastic. There are much of the children, we shouldn't be kashering plastic for Pesach, because even a mashu was a problem. We don't know what exactly it's made of and how it works. And besides all that, you can only use it for 4 days. Right? You can't use a microwave on Shabbos or Yontif. You can only use it 3 days. This year when Pesach is on Shabbos, so you can use it for 4 days. Big deal. Right? It's a zecha l'tzias Mitzrayim. A zecha to the world before microwaves. Anyone here remembers the world before microwaves? Who remembers the world before microwaves? I'm the only one. Okay, so there used to be such a world, not that long ago, really 30 years ago, there were almost no microwaves. We're not discussing such a long period of time. Anyway, you were a baby at a microwave? See, the rabbi, I know how old the rabbi is. When he was a baby, his mother didn't have a microwave until a few years later. Anyway, that's as far as some of the highlights of this issue. I want to discuss a little bit about the Seder night. The Seder night is, there are many mitzvahs. The most important mitzvah is the mitzvah of matzah, which is a mitzvah in our Torah. And you have to eat matzah. I recommend for the Seder night proper, it's better to use hand shmura. It's just fewer issues of lishma, etc. But those who use machine shmura have certainly a very strong basis to rely upon. How much must you eat? Simple, the size of an olive. Oh, what's that? That's a whole discussion. How much it really is, and the Shulchan Aruch recommends you twice that size. And there's those who claim that the Shulchan Aruch wants to peg the size of an olive to an egg as being half an egg. So if you put those two chumras together, you have the size of, a whole egg. A whole egg. Now you're talking big stuff. I don't recommend you have so much matzah unless your stomach is made from cast iron. You're really going to do you something. But I think it was last year I printed something in Pesach to go. In fact, I can still get it in some online form. And the shiurim were not so big. It was depending on the size of the matzah, hand or machine. I gave it the sizes there. I don't remember exactly what they were. My recollection is that there was something like approximately 2/5 of a machine and 1/5 of a hand. The hand is twice as thick. But it's not so much. You can't have even that much. A medical problem, call me up. We'll find a smaller shiur, which is actually printed there as well if you want to look it up. How big is the revius for the wine? So 3 ounces should do the trick for you. You don't have to drink the whole 3 ounces. Drink a rove kos is enough. An ounce and a half. If you have problems with the wine. If you don't like wine, you have grape juice. Grape juice is also okay. So therefore, whoever should fulfill that mitzvah. The mitzvah of moro should be fulfilled with lettuce. Romaine lettuce is a classic, but sometimes there are bugs. You should use what I use, which is the stalks. You can buy them in any store. The stalks of romaine lettuce. Stalks have two advantages over the leaves. Number one, much easier to get a kazayas. It's just one stalk, by definition. It's thick, it's a kazayas. If the leaves are so thin. Number two, there are no bugs in the stalks. Almost none. So that's why I recommend strongly to use. Maybe the most significant of all mitzvahs of Seder is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. To recount the tale of our travails in Egypt, our being redeemed from those travails, from the persecution of Egypt. This is very, very important and requires hard work. You shouldn't just run through a Haggadah so fast. Especially if there are children involved, Vigata Lebincha. It's very important to get excited about it and to act it out and be dramatic. You know, even those of us who maybe not so don't have this in them on an everyday basis, you got to work yourself up into a, I won't use the word frenzy, but into an excitable state so that the excitement can rub off on your children. If you're going to go there dull, you know, with paro, yeah, paro. Yeah. You have to have all kinds of things. Some of my kids have these visual aids. They throw frogs in the middle of the Seder Avram. They throw frogs all over the table and they're there and we start singing songs and we start all kinds of questions and stories. I must tell you, though, that in my home, the stories are the same every year. I never like to repeat myself as a rule, but Pesach is an exception. The stories are the same every single year. Stories from the Dubna Magid, and stories from the Maisa Nisim. These are classical Haggadahs, which those of my Shia will hear next week, and next Wednesday, and I give the Shia before Pesach. And the children and the grandchildren look forward to it. That's how I grew up in my father's house, Zichron Levroch. He told the same stories again every year, because we were so looking forward, Abba, tell us that story and tell us that story. It's been a year, you know, since last time. We want to hear it again. We want to hear how what nuance and what flavor and how it's said it. But last year, it changed a little different, you know. So I think it's very important that every family have its Mesorah as to what is being taught and transmitted. As I said before, whatever the story is, the excitement and the involvement, that's the whole Gemara Pesachim talks about. Involving the children, you give them candies, you make sure to take a nap, all these kinds of things. It's very important. And the truth is, we're all children. We're all children. You know, if we fall asleep with the Seder, it's no good too. The Tinokos. The Tinokos are wide awake. It's about the boss that's falling asleep. Because he was up and then, you know, I have to be careful for that too. So all these things are very important as far as the Seder is concerned. Very, very important halachas concerning the Seder, and Chazal are very, very intent on getting it done right. One of the things is to get it started on time. Especially the first night, which is in the Raisa. Get it started on time. If you dilly-dally, it's bad. In my house, we try very hard, and we're generally successful, to end on time. What do you mean to end on time? End on time means that we finish the full body of the Haggadah before Chatzos. Chatzos is approximately 1 o'clock, daylight savings time, which Pesach is always in these days. It's late. So if we go afterwards with the singing, you know, you have the singing songs, and nirtza, as we'd call it. But if it's a good idea, based upon the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, I didn't make it up, to finish on time. This way people can stay up, hopefully that long, and then go to sleep shortly thereafter. They have to get up in the morning for Shachris too. Let's not forget that. Rabbi Sandy gives my Kriyas Moshe Shachris. I mean, after 6 hours of sleep, whatever it may be, but it does come about. So it's important to try to start on time and end on time. Just a word or two about the preparations of Bedikas Chametz. Not going into it in great detail. Then open the floor for questions. Bedikas Chametz is hard to understand nowadays. In the old days, they would come with a candle and they check the whole house is a room the size of maybe from here to the wall. That's it. From here to here. That was the whole house. So they would check with a candle and now they'd find all the chametz and the cracks and the... Today our houses are much bigger and we have a big problem. You know, I want to quote the late Goin Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was niftah just last week. He, among his other credits, has a shiur which he gave to the community in Matzdorf in Yerushalayim, and I have a copy of it. Where he speaks particularly to the women not to confuse bedikas chametz with spring cleaning. Women break their backs and they blame it on the Rabbanu Shalom. You want to have a clean house, that's your business. Don't blame it on all our boss of Bokness or Chametz or that's your business. All you're looking for, he writes over there, is Chametz the size of a kazayas. Even the small kazayas, an olive. But if it's less than an olive, it's a crumb, it's on the floor, technically speaking, you leave it there. I don't recommend it. But you don't have to look for that. It's not what the search and destroy mission is all about. And therefore, he says as follows. In the olden days, they had very small houses. Then it got a little bit bigger, but they had a lot of domestic help in Europe. And the average balabasta in Eretz Yisrael in America has big house, not so much domestic help to help them with it. So they break their backs. What was that thing on the tape? I have the Here Come Pesach Blues. You know what I'm talking about? No one ever heard of that song? Nobody? I guess I'm dating myself. It wasn't that long ago. It's about some woman of the Here Come Pesach Blues. And you know, what? It's... And Rav Scheinberg Zatzal writes so powerfully, there's a mitzvah for every woman to eat matzah Seder night, to have 4 cups of wine, and to have simchas yomtiv, to be happy, not to be morose and zonked beyond measure, and too tired to enjoy anything. He's completely correct. So therefore, the B'dikas Chametz should start earlier, and look for kazesim, and the night of B'dikas Chametz itself, a week from tomorrow night. So in a typical home, the woman will put out 10 crumbs, not tell her husband where they are. Ooh, it's exciting. I've had to beg, man, where is that 10th piece? I can't find it. I'm looking high and I'm looking low. Where is that 10th piece? The fact I don't know where they are makes their search somewhat honest. You know, I can't say I'm looking under every... Yeah, we look under here, there. But we also use a flashlight, by the way. I would not recommend a candle at all. People have died from... these candles, they can start a fire in a second. When I used to using these candles under beds and in corners, when I used to, we have electric light. I prefer use a flashlight. And those 10 crumbs you put in a bag, and the next day you burn it. That's our minig of Ramah. When should you burn it? Ideally, after the rabbi sells your chametz. And I'll end with this before the questions. We have a thing called Mechiras Chametz, which has become traditional throughout the world, the Jewish world, where a person appoints a rabbi to sell the chametz to a non-Jew, and the chametz is sold, and the chametz is then repurchased after Pesach is over. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a completely legal sale. Spent a lot of time last year with Pesachim about this very complex deal, how it works. Ideally, after that sale is done, which is it's done just before the last hour before or and a half or so before you have to burn the chametz. So after that's done, towards the right before the clock runs out, and you that's the perfect time to take your chametz and throw it into the fire. But what chametz do you have? People come with bagels. Take a bagel, put it into a fire. You get toast. It's never going to burn. You want it to be burned, it should be inedible. Take a little bit, thin white bread, or whole wheat bread, or maybe rye bread. That's soft. And you put it into a fire. It burns to a crisp quickly. It's very important to have a little common sense what you're putting there. Don't put hard, big, thick items. That you throw into the garbage the day before. You put into the fire on Erev Pesach, should be thin and soft. That way it'll burn immediately. These are some of my comments. I'm opening the floor for questions. We start on the right side of the room. My right, I should say. Yes, ma'am. Any pot that's been dormant for 24 hours. Any other questions from this side of the room? Yes. The truth is that I do it that way because I want to make sure the entire sink from top to bottom is submerged in hot water, which is near boiling, which is what we do. That's not really an absolute requirement. As long as you pour over every surface, it's good enough. I don't trust myself to hit every surface. So as a backup, I have it that way. But if you can't do it that way for whatever technical reason, as long as you pour it over every surface, that's sufficient. That's only if it's stainless steel. If it's porcelain, then you... whole different story. You have to line it with contact paper or get an insert or whatever you do. But I'm talking about all my stainless steel. Yes? As I said before, it is a matter of dispute whether one is able to kosher a old-fashioned oven, which is not self-clean, by putting up to the highest temperature, let's say about 550. According to many authorities, my Rebbe included, that's sufficient. Others disagree. So if you have no other way out, you can certainly rely upon the rabbis who say it's sufficient.
And how long would you?
Long enough to get to 550, whatever that means. That's a half an hour, whatever it takes. Probably if you email the manufacturer, how long is it, unless you have a good thermostat inside, which you probably don't. So you send out everything is now, has emails with it. How long will it take, I think from 0 to 60 in the car? How does it take from 0 to 550? They'll tell you it's an hour, whatever they tell you, half an hour. Yes?
If you don't buy new inserts for your stovetop, is there any other way to make it okay?
Okay. If you don't buy a new grate for your stovetop, what do? You use the old grate, obviously. But how do you make it kosher? So the best way is to either put it up to the highest and maybe cover it with a blech so the heat will become intense, or put it into the 550 oven. Those are the two ways. And when I was a kid, we went downstairs to the coal stove in the apartment house. Yes, in Brooklyn. I remember a coal stove. Has anybody ever seen a coal stove? Have you ever seen a... That's what heated my house. Coal. Who's ever seen coal? Who's ever seen one coal ever? You guys. Okay. So I'm telling my memories. This is from the 50s. Woo! Even before the rabbi's time. But that's what I remember. They would throw it in. We can't do that anymore nowadays. We don't have the ability. Okay?
So
much time. Whoa. Are we done with the song? Yes. Ladies first. I'm still old fashioned. Yeah. Open? Well, if it's sellable, you can sell it. In other words, if it's you have a half a box of Cheerios, so in theory, you can sell it because it's, it's delicious. It's a half. You took a bite out of a piece of a bagel. You want to sell a half bagel, which has your teeth marks in it? I don't think I wouldn't sell that. Okay. Done for this for the moment. Oh yes.
If someone is to go out of town during the time in which you're supposed to burn the comments, you burn it earlier.
Yes. Yes.
What time is the earliest?
Whenever you're leaving, whenever it's a good time for you. Don't put it on the plane, please. Don't do that. Okay, we'll go to this section. Yes?
I'm wondering what Rebbe's opinion is in terms of soft matzahs.
Soft matzahs haven't been used by Ashkenazim in centuries. So we stick with the best of my knowledge. So we used to stick to the old-fashioned hard matzahs. I think they're, I happen to think they're nice. They're crispy, they're delicious, yeah, the thinner ones. I'm not, I can't oppose it categorically. I say, but all things being equal, I think we should try to stick to what's been doing for the last few centuries in our community.
Is it okay to eat it if you're at a table where there's
three? If it's under good ashgacha, absolutely. Yes?
What's your opinion on paper plates and things that might have various...
No problem, no problem. Any paper plates. Yes? It's as hot as it can get. Just try to get it red hot if you can. Yes?
What kind of wine is this?
What kind of wine? The wine you like best. Simchas Yontif. What do you like? Whatever you like. That's what you choose. If you don't like wine, have grape juice. Have grape juice. That's what you say. Now there's a Rambam. The Rambam says the chef without sugar shouldn't be mevushel. All that kind of stuff. You don't follow the Rambam. Father Rambam, all year long, and Father Rambam pays of either. At my house, we use wine with sugar, which is mevushel. Mevushel, in case some person touches it, that could cause a problem. And sugar, because we like it with sugar. But you like it without sugar, but be my guest. No, whatever you like.
Soap
is no problem. In my opinion, toothpaste is no problem. No problem. So you can't eat it. Even a dog wouldn't eat it. Yes, sir. Vitamins. Would a dog eat it? Will the dog eat it? Give it to your dog. The dog is a machmer, they say. This dog is a machmer. That's the joke they used to say. Look, you don't need vitamins. Let me tell you the truth. My doctors, they don't need any vitamins. So if you want to have vitamins, you get rid of Heksha. Nobody can do without it. If you really need it, really, really need it, and there's no Heksha, you could probably have it. But try to get the ones which are not chewable. They certainly exist. Any other questions?
Medicines?
There's a list yay long of medicines which have no chametz in it. So if you could use one of those, you should use one of those. On the front page it says if you have a life-threatening or debilitating disease and it's not on the list or it's bad, ask your rabbi. Because the rabbi will say it's okay. That's what they're implying. It's an exercise. Every year I get calls. That's what gets me so busy. Is this medicine kosher? Is this medicine kosher? It's probably online by now. Why are they calling me? But that's the way it is. Yes, sir. Right. Not binding. But the problem is if you put out 10 and only find 9, that's a problem. But if you don't put out anything, it's still not so terrible. Any other questions on this side? Yes, sir.
Is there an issue with selling part of the fridge?
I don't like selling parts. It's just not a good, you have chametz right in front of you. That means, even would you put a... I don't think it's a good idea. It's better to... Whatever you want to sell, put in one place. If you're going to sell a freezer, have one separate freezer where you're selling everything in the freezer. Right? By the way, you only have to sell chametz proper. You don't have to sell things which you're not going to eat on Pesach. So in our house, we may have the freezer, which is filled with items. Some of them may be real chametz. Others are just, we say it, not Pesachdik. We're not even selling that to the guy. But it's in that part we don't eat. Put it away. And the chametz you have belongs to the guy. It should be put away somewhere. I remember my kids had a big sign on the chametz pantry, property of John J. Brown. That's the non-Jew to whom we've been selling the chametz for many years. It's property. Don't go near it. One of my kids wrote down poison, with a skull and Avram. So we have very interesting experiences in our house. Yes?
How is the time difference affected the selling?
Very good. Whoever's gone to Israel, who's gone to Israel here? Nobody. Oh. So you have to sell the early sale. Many rabbis sell next Thursday, as opposed to next Friday, because by the time we get around to selling next Friday morning, it's already Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. Too late to sell. So that's how it can affect you in that direction. Who's going west? No one's going west here. Nobody. Where are you going? Oh, that's as west as you can get in this country. Even Hawaii, which is another issue. Where Hawaii? So when I buy back the chametz from Mr. Brown on Motzei Shabbos, in 2 weeks, I tell him, Mr. Brown, I represent many people, some of whom may be in Chicago, L.A., and the sun is still shining. So he looks at me and says, and therefore, I don't want to buy it back for them presently, it's too early for them. I want to buy it back, do the action of buy back now to be effective in 3 hours or whenever it gets dark in those particular locations. And he always chimes in, yes, I know about these things. He's a real estate agent. We'll often go through a sale of a house now, effective January 1st for tax purposes. So saying he knows about these things. So that's what's done. The Mishnah says in Masechta Sukkah, Ha'al of Simcha Shmona, the midst of Simcha applies all 8 days of Sukkot, and Simcha, according to some authorities, including the Rambam, requires meat and wine. So therefore you'll see big ads in the papers and some of the Haredi papers to tell you the importance of having a meat and wine every day of Chol HaMoed. It's a great idea. Does it apply to Pesach as well as Sukkot? Not necessarily. You have Shechta Shlit as a piece. Maybe it does not apply to Pesach, but the ads in the paper say yes. Then up to his sophistication. And if you can do it, you should do it. Yes?
The second question is, are we allowed to study for secular classes?
Whoever's in this college is by definition the Dover HaOved. You know how high the tuition is these days. You fail a course, it's just the price is staggering. Staggering. And therefore, whatever it takes, it takes. It's permissible. I do recommend to my Talmidim, now most of the work they do is on computer, and it's on the screen, and there's almost never a need to print it out till after Yontif. Since a private violation is, technically speaking, is ksiva, so instead of using a pen and paper, use the computer, and don't type it, don't, you know, print it out until after Pesach is over. That's our recommendation. Good? Yes, sir? Well, take out the chametz. That's
it.
People cover the shelves. I'm not opposed to it. Okay, so it's difficult for the circulation, but for a week it's not so bad. Yes, you should.
If I'm in a house where they are using a microwave, should I?
It's okay. It's they're using it, they probably kashered it, and it's okay.
Only for myself?
Yeah. Any final questions? Yes. In other words, you're Thursday night you're at home, you're leaving Friday morning
You're leaving before Thursday. You're leaving
before?
So you get to another place.
Well, are you going to be home at all during Pesach whatsoever?
No.
No? So why bother doing a bedik at all? Sell the whole thing to a guy? Oh, but you're going to be. Excuse me, I misunderstood you. You live in New York and you're going to spend Pesach in fill in the blank. Do I have Florida? Or maybe the mountains? And you come and you want to do a bedik there. If you put chametz into that place, of course, yeah, you must do bedikah. If you go to a clean hotel room, now, even the average hotel should clean up well enough that there's no olive-sized pieces of chametz on the floor or anywhere else. And you don't bring any chametz from the time you arrive, then what kind of bedikah is chametz? It's been checked already. There's nothing there. So, if you're in an apartment somewhere, then unless they check before, you should check yourself.
The bracha.
If it requires a bedikah and it's Thursday night, you should make a bracha. Absolutely.
But the apartment where you normally live, you're not going to be. You have to be there the night before you go.
If you're not going to be there the entire Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion. He seems to say, according to most authorities, if you're selling the whole apartment or renting it out to a non-Jew, you're not required to do any bedikah whatsoever. It's not yours. It belongs to John.
By the time you're leaving, it's not sold yet.
Excellent question. But by the time, since most people who leave, I tell them for the Pesach to do the sale on the early day, the early bird sale. They do the early bird sale on Thursday. By the time all our bus rolls around, it's already sold. Yes. Yes, you do, as a matter of fact. We should take the garbage out. on Friday morning, Erev Pesach, before this man. And in some communities, they have arranged garbage pickup for that Friday morning, or else you put it in the dumpster somewhere. There are different ways how to handle it. And you should try to get it out. If you can't, so you're a homeowner, and they're not going to come to pick it up that day, put it in a plastic bag beyond your property line. You may get a ticket in some places for putting out before the day of collection. Well, we'll try to get the lawyer to get out of the ticket if it happens. Any other final questions? Yes? No, she should do bedik. No, as long as she does it. She has to, she's living there, you're not living there. It's her business. That's not yours, it all belongs to the bank or the landlord, whatever. You're signing on the lease, but your other roommates are paying their share, and therefore they de facto are residents. And it's a chovas hadar, as the Gemara seems to put it in the Sechta Pesachim. And since your roommate is living there and she'll be there for Pesach and you won't, it's most appropriate that she should do the bidding. Yes? That's a good question. The vacuum bag is full of dirt and junk and dust. Probably you don't have to do it, technically speaking, but you have to empty it once in a while anyway, so why not? Okay. As many as you want. I'm not running away. It is a problem. Someone who's in a house and using a refrigerator and part of that refrigerator has chametz in it, I don't recommend it. So you can go back the old-fashioned way and throw it out before Pesach. How much could it be worth to fill in the refrigerator? You know, the expensive stuff is in the freezer. And if you can either get a separate freezer or find a way how to separate out one from the other. That's my recommendation. I mean, it's not used. The kitchen's closed.
Right.
Kitchen's closed. You can sell the whole fridge with all the contents therein. Everything. It's the best way.
But if everyone's on separately,
doesn't matter. As long as it's not being used. Yes?
If you don't sell Thomas Gavar, but someone in your apartment does sell Thomas Gavar, then after Pesach, you partake
their Thomas Gavar. There's an assumption to that question that some people don't like to sell absolute chametz, only things which have a little chametz and a mixture of chametz. If you have that position, which is more power to you, I can't tell you what the full ramifications are because I don't know what your custom is. Some people won't sell chametz gomer, and if someone does, they view it as it's completely prohibited after Pesach. Others won't sell the chametz gomer themselves, so they give it to their friend. You sell the chametz gomer. If it was Shabbos guy, now it's a Pesach guy. Everyone has different approaches. I can't give you a definitive answer to your question. Sorry. Yes?
Buying chametz after Pesach, so who's considered the owner of the store?
Owner of the store is the owner of the store. What kind of question is that?
It's a chain store or something like that.
So, everything has an owner. It's all now on the internet. You name it, it's on the internet. You find who the owner is. If he's Jewish, then it's a problem.
There's a few different people with different owners.
If it's like a partnership, it's who may depend upon the majority, potentially.
Okay. Yes,
the new Tumul distributor, CNS, the biggest distributor. So somebody sells their chametz for them. Somebody sells their chametz. Some people don't like it, want to rely on the sale. Listen, you can go crazy with this din because it can go on for a year. So these things have long shelf lives. But on the other hand, it's only if it's a suffix, if it's a reasonable doubt, then there's room to be lenient in all these cases. It's only rabbinical prohibition. Right. Yes. But Deacon, in your office, you're not going to be there Pesach. If you sell all the chametz in the office, you're not going to be there. You don't have to do Bedikah, same as in the house.
But I have to sell it.
Who else? If it belongs to you, who else can sell it?
Nobody sells
some company. I think I know the company. You sell as an agent for the company.
Okay.
Yes?
What if you are going to be in the office?
Well, then I have a problem. You mentioned the chametz must be eliminated. You don't want to be sitting around at a desk when there's chametz all over the place. Right.
Do you need to do a bedikah?
Yes. Need not be, in my opinion, a formal bedikah with a flashlight on next Thursday night. But you have to do a de facto bedikah at your convenience. Yes? Gluten-free? Okay. It's one problem less, you know? How much you do about matzah, but you have one problem less about chametz. Well, it's a good question. It's an excellent question. Tosfos says in Pesachim and Avei that the reason why we do bedikah is that you may come to eat the chametz, and it's different than other prohibitions. Other prohibitions apply all year long. This only applies for the 8 days of Pesach. So the question is raised, for someone who's gluten-free, should we compare chametz to other prohibitions? Because they can't eat it all year long. Well, that's a great question. Never thought of it before. I don't know the answer. Very good question. That's the best question of the night. Very good question. Yes. The car, same thing. The car, you don't have to go there on next Thursday night with a flashlight on the car. But you better believe, if there are kids around, that that car is chock full with chametz. Guaranteed. I remember in the old days, we'd find Cheerios and sandwiches. You name it. You name it. As far as, I mean, I'm not talking about B'dikas Chametz now, because you don't have to go to see which is likely to find some Chametz, but there's two different Shulchan Aruch B'dikas Chametz. A house without children, and a house with children. And the more active the child, I'll tell you one story. Many years ago, we were going, you know, we have an apartment, and there's a closet. You know, you have the same thing, I'm sure, here. It has a sliding door in front, and there's this hanging area. And on top, you know, you say it starts around 6 feet high, approximately, goes to the 8-foot ceiling, right? So it's 2 feet of storage area. Right? So we had some stuff that we needed for camp. So we pulled out a box. And behind the box, this is June, you know, Pesach's in April, right? Behind the box, we find a half a stale peanut butter sandwich. Those who know my children can guess which child has the ability to climb up, who has the ability to climb up to the rafters. Now his children follow his example. I don't think they mention any names. He's a prime suspect in that peanut butter sandwich left behind. So that if they're children, they can do go everywhere. But if it's a different population, it changes the bedikas chametz that's required.
Just clean the car out.
So the car you have to clean out. You have to some of those chairs have to be turn this way, go underneath it, you name it.
What if you're not using the car?
No, it's the same thing. If you're not using the car, sell the car. I mean, rent out the car. Car rental company.
Rent
you put down the car. Where is it? It's parked in front of my house. So it's here, it's there. Where's the key to it? Generally, if you go away for Pesach, you have to know a key. So my form for Mechiras Chametz, so the key is here, but I started putting down a few years ago, cell phone number. So if Mr. Brown is interested in anything you have, he has your cell phone. So that's a very big plus. So wherever you are, just call your cell phone. I saw you have some liquor in your inventory. I need liquor. Now, where are you? Oh, John, I'm in Israel. Oh. I have to get into your house for liquor. Okay. My friend has the key. He lives down the block. Call him up. And you call him. Say, I give you a key. Go let him in. Take the liquor. Lock the door. You know, this is he has to have access. There's no access. What kind of sale is that? It's very important.
You have to leave the key to somebody.
Yeah. Somebody who's going to be that close by. You're going to Baltimore for Pesach. You take the key with you. You get a call. Hey, this is John Brown. Okay, I'll be up in a few hours. I mean, give me a chance. You don't have to be there and sit there 24/7 on top of the room so you can get it. Not reasonable. Okay, I wish everybody a chag kosher v'sameach.